Welcome to the 2022 edition of the Radio Lumi Artist Spotlight Series. These spotlights are meant to highlight Luminato artists and the work they've contributed. You'll hear them describe themselves and their art in their own voices. Coming up is Destiny. Destiny is a queer and Black disabled second-generation immigrant with roots in Jamaica. Her multidisciplinary art practice focuses on zine making and drawing, which she enjoys as an outlet for personal expression and social justice action. She is particularly invested in decolonization, abolition, and mutual aid. At any point, you can catch Destiny watering her extensive plant collection, rewatching Glee and/or Twilight, reading, or dancing. She is a contributing artist to Crip Collab Issue 4, a digital zine from Sticky Mangoes, now in its second edition with Luminato. You can follow this artist's work on her Instagram at @_DestinyEden or at @Tinderfruit. You can find the zine with accompanying image descriptions on the Luminato website. You can also find spotlights from other Crip Collab contributors from this and last year on Radio Lumi through the Access Hub at luminatofestival.com/access-hub. These interviews were recorded before the first draft of the Crip Collab issue had been revealed by Pri Rahal, the curator and creator of the zine.
My name is Destiny. My pronouns are she, her. I am a brown-skinned, Black femme, mid-height, maybe like 5'4". I have Afro hair, although sometimes I wear different protective styles. Currently, I have on my favorite mushroom t-shirt because I really like mycology. And I'm also wearing striped tights that I got for Christmas because it's super cozy, and a satin headscarf. As an artist, I usually say that I'm multidisciplinary because I like to dabble in lots of different things. I kind of consider myself a Renaissance woman in that way. Particularly, I love zine making, contributing to zines, collaging, and drawing. Those have been like my main avenues. And I like to use it as an outlet for personal expression and community engagement, usually somehow oriented around social and environmental justice, because those are the two passions of mine that I like to, I guess, experience and explain to others through art. The piece I submitted to Crip Collab is a digital illustration. It has like a slight beige background and it features a cake. It's the bird's eye view of like a white vanilla cake. It has rainbow sprinkles and pink icing on the top and bottom. And then in also pink icing in the middle, it says medical equity for Black girls. I submitted this piece because it was inspired by these like progressive cake designers that I've seen on Instagram who usually bake like these beautiful cakes and they have a message or a call to action on them. And so I went with that and I chose medical equity for Black girls because as a disabled Black woman myself, I know how Black women and girls are crippled and neglected by misogynoir and trans misogynoir in the medical industrial complex. And so this is kind of my little statement, my call to action that I wanted to put forward in Crip Collab. Because in this piece, and kind of in a lot of the personal doodles that I do, I think about and grieve how much I didn't know about my body and my brain, because everything from like health and sex education in school to the way doctors and medical staff would interact with me discriminatorily, it kind of locked me out of my own health. So this piece is like a demand and a reminder that Black women and girls deserve to be tended to with as much care as anyone else. The way misogynoir and other types of discrimination intersect with the medical industry is super big. Like, unfortunately, it's a long list. I know for myself, it looks like not being believed. Oftentimes, I would go into a medical space, like a hospital or a doctor's office for an appointment. And instead of talking about my health, they would talk about like my hair. That's happened to me a lot. And I'm like, this is not what I came for. I don't know why you've decided this is the time to like objectify or fetishize me, but like, I'm here to take command of my health and you're not helping. Another thing I think about that's really important is like pain tolerance. I remember doing a presentation on the novel, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, in my fourth year of undergrad on Black women's well-being. And in it, I talked about this study that was conducted on about 400 medical students in the US. And over half of them believed at least one of these pain myths that exist around pain tolerance, Black pain tolerance, which basically usually states that Black people can like withstand pain more than others. And it leads to us being like mistreated, misdiagnosed, and dying more than others. So I know that's an American context, but I'm sure that translates to the Canadian health system. And so for us to walk into a medical space where there's over a 50% chance of interacting with a professional who could ultimately end our lives because of these like outdated beliefs, racist beliefs, is ridiculous. So yeah, those are just a few of the things that come to my mind. To have to deal with that kind of racism while I'm just trying to exist, just trying to advocate for myself, is dehumanizing. I think that's the word that sums it up best. You know, I think that I can enter a space and access the same type of care or like find answers, but just be treated with respect. And to be met with that, it sucks. Doing that extra labor of like, you know, having to research ahead of time, like tips for how to deal with white doctors or like how to assert yourself in a medical situation. It's terrifying. Yeah, I think it's extra taxing. Like it debilitates me even more because I'm not just dealing with my health issues. I'm dealing with the consequences of maybe I was misdiagnosed. Maybe they didn't listen to me. Did they actually write that down? Is this actually going to be followed up with? So it's really precarious and scary and just like uncertain. I have an Instagram account called Tinderfruit, and this is basically where I can just be myself and assert myself through my doodles and drawings. I've always loved to draw, and so I kind of made this account as a safe space for myself to be fully me, fully Black, queer, and disabled. And so I like to use this as a platform to share personal doodles, grappling with disability joy and despair, things maybe related to my ancestry or social justice. It's just like where I can be me. So a lot of that looks like really short comics. It might look like portraits, abstract line art. That's kind of the space that I use that for. And then other types of art that I really like, I think I touched on zines a bit earlier. I love to do zines. A couple of the ones I've done was the Prism. It was like a project I did, my first ever zine with LGBT Youthline's Provincial Youth Ambassador Program. And so I basically gathered art from 2 LGBTQ+ youth in my hometown of Brantford, Brant, and Six Nations, just to amplify our existence. Because usually a lot of like the pride scene gets put into like bigger cities like Toronto. And I'm like, wait, we're here too. We're queer too. So that's what that was about. And then Eclipse, which I published, I think in fall 2021, was basically a celebration of Black femhood. So just having Black folks who like to express themselves in a feminine way celebrate that. And so they sent in like self-portraits and talked about what brings them Black joy and gender euphoria. And it was so beautiful. I really, really loved doing that. So yeah, those are a couple zines I've made, and then I've contributed to other ones. Now, I guess the latest is Crip Collab, and I'm really excited about that because it was curated by Pree, and Pree was the first person to introduce me to zines. So everything comes full circle. Being a multiply marginalized artist in like a non-major urban city center. I mean, now I live in Hamilton and I consider Hamilton huge. It has like 500,000 people, but I've spent my whole life in Brantford, which is like 90,000. Being in that space, it was tough. Artistically, I mean, those initiatives aren't really invested into as much. And so I'm kind of often looking over at the GTA. It's all sparkly and the artists are thriving. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where are the opportunities for us? And the thing is, artists exist out here too. And so I often noticed a lot of barriers. Like if I was going to go for an artistic opportunity, they'd be like, only if you're in Toronto. And I'm like, oh my God, no, like I want other folks to be able to share our experiences too, because it's so unique living in that landscape. Smaller cities and towns are typically quite conservative and white in Southern Ontario. And so if you're like me, you know, visibly racialized, disabled, queer, it's tough. And art has been my and many others' escape to assert who we really are and say what we really want to say. So I appreciate coming up in a small city and having that in the back of my mind, in the back of my art practice always. And I would just hope that in the future, folks can pour into that too. Being a part of the Monado through Crip Collab it's kind of mind-blowing. I never saw myself in these spaces that are kind of like carved out. It's a lot of sight, a lot of viewing on your art, a lot of participants. And it's Toronto based. So to think that I could participate is really exciting. And again, I'm happy that like non-major urban, like non-Toronto artists also get these opportunities.
Again, that was Destiny. And remember, you can find her work on her Instagram at @DestinyEden or at @Tinderfruit. To find this spotlight and others, check out Radio Lumi, or you can find the art and more on the artist in Crip Collab, both available through the Access Hub on the Luminato website. That's luminatofestival.com/access-hub. This spotlight was produced and edited by yours truly, Dev Ramsewak, for Radio Lumi as part of Luminato 2022. Thanks for joining us.